once again in the book of Galatians chapter number 3. And not taking things verse by verse, but trying to delve into a subject that I believe is very important, that not only for the people of Galatia of the day that Paul was writing, but I believe it's very important for every generation and every age to understand the truth concerning the gospel. There's nothing more important that we have in our lives than truth. And the truth of the gospel is that most important element, because you, as I said last Sunday, we can be wrong on a lot of things. We can be wrong about when the church started. We can be wrong about baptism. We can be wrong about all kind of doctrines that we have. But we cannot be wrong concerning the doctrine of salvation. Everything else falls under, as far as importance, under salvation. Because we can be right head knowledge with everything, and we can have truth that has been drilled into us, and we can have a knowledge in our head that is right and still be wrong on salvation and die without the Lord. And that would be so very sad to have a lot of truth and then not have the truth concerning the gospel. So this morning we are going to deal with a subject that is, to some people, may be strange. And we're going to be dealing with the gospel that was preached unto Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham lived thousands of years before the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, we're going to look this morning, as we read in these verses of Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read some things about that man called Abraham in the Old Testament. So we're going to look at his life. We're going to read verses in Galatians, but we're going to be studying in the book of Genesis to show you the concurrence of the Scripture, how that the Word of God works together. And by the way, this entire book that we have is the Word of God. I know we live in a New Testament age, but the Old Testament is for our learning. It's for our understanding. It's to help us. And so we read this morning in Galatians chapter 3, and we read these verses last week, did not say too much about them. But this morning we're going to deal with verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9, and then some other verses a little bit later in the chapter. So let's read Galatians chapter 3, verse number 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now look in verse number 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now look in verse number 22. Verse number 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all, notice that word all, the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now in these few verses that we have read this morning, we introduce the subject of this man, Abraham. We find the faith of Abraham, then we see the family of Abraham given to us. Those, and we are, by the way, we are a part of that family of Abraham because of the Scripture that we read there just a moment ago talks about those that would come. In verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. We are recipients of the blessing of Abraham. In these verses, we find the amazing faith that Abraham had. Faith, we understand, is that believing the unbelievable, accepting which would be normally unacceptable. We find that Hebrews gives us that faith is the evidence of things not yet seen. So when you're looking at faith, it's not something that you figure out. When you're dealing with the subject of faith, it's not something that you put on a piece of paper and say, well, I believe this will work because this will work. I believe we can do this because this will work, and you try to figure it out, and that's by sight. Faith is living not knowing the future. Faith is living not understanding all the things that are before us, and certainly we can understand living by faith. People today normally say, oh, I believe, but I wonder when we examine Abraham's faith, do we have the same faith that Abraham had? We have a faith that accepts, oh, I believe in God. I believe that there's a God in heaven. How many times people have told me that, and you've heard that statement also. And sometimes people have that kind of belief. Well, the Bible tells us that in the book of James that the devils also believe, and they understand, they even tremble because of who God is. Well, that's not saving faith. That's a different kind of belief. And so Abraham had a faith that was unshakable. Abraham, as we read here, had a faith that was accounted unto him. And that's a term that is an accountant term. It was something that was put to his account. It was something that was applied to him because he believed what the Lord told him and what the Lord had given to him. So the Bible tells us, and we looked last week where Paul asked the questions, have we received the blessings of the Lord because of our faith, or has it come because of our works? And Paul is dealing, and we've been in this book of Galatians for a number of weeks now, and Paul is laying the foundation. He's fighting the battle for the pureness of the gospel, that something would not come in and mingle with it and destroy the effect of the gospel and destroy the effect of faith and grace. And so he asked them the questions, do you have what you have because of the works of the flesh, or do you have what you have because of the grace of God or the works of the Lord? Of course, the answer is not of flesh. And now Paul goes to these Galatian people, and he's dealing with the subject of Abraham. Abraham is that patriarch Jew that God said, in you shall all the world be blessed. Abraham is that one that God has spoken to and said, I'm going to bless the entire world because of your seed. And Paul now takes them to that subject. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And verse 8 says, in the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Thank God for that verse, that God would justify the heathen. You know who that is? That's the lost. We talk about the heathen of this world. Sometimes we think of all the dark continents of Africa and the countries of Africa. We think of those that we prayed about just a moment ago that have never heard the gospel, never had a copy of the Word of God. We think of them in our minds as they are the heathen. Well, I'll tell you what, the heathen are those that have never believed and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a detrimental term. It's a term that lets us know that we're not right with God. And so the Lord gave a schoolmaster. As we read about in the latter part of this chapter, he gave the law as a schoolmaster. And that law says, thou shalt and thou shalt not. And you know what? Every one of us that's sitting in this building, and every person of the 7 billion some odd people of this world, have never been able to keep the law. The law tells us that we are not perfect before God. The law is the statements of God says, you cannot reach me your way. You cannot do it by the works of the flesh. You cannot go to heaven because you keep the Ten Commandments, or you keep the law, or you go through the ceremonial parts of the law. And so here Paul says that there is a blessing of Abraham. And I'm glad this morning for the heathen that have been saved, and those that have trusted the Lord and have accepted the finished work of Christ. And therefore, we are recipients of the blessing of Abraham. We are the family of Abraham. We see the faith, and we're going to look at the faith of Abraham here in just a moment. But thank God, because of faith, we are the family of Abraham. We're that spiritual seed that God said that He would give unto the offsprings of Abraham. The book of Hebrews, another book written by Paul, it's a Jewish book written to the Jew, and Paul writes in chapter 11, he says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called." Now notice the faith of Abraham here. Hebrews 11:19. Accounting, there's that word again. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in figure. Now to understand Hebrews 11 and Galatians chapter 3 when it deals with Abraham, we've got to go back to Genesis chapter 22. So if you would go there with me to the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. Here we have the account of the offering of Isaac. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he was tested. God came to Abraham and said, "Take thy son, thy only son, and offer him as a sacrifice." And we'll read that in a moment. And so Abraham was tried, and he also received a promise from the Lord. And Abraham believed God, and he says he accounted that if he offered up Isaac, then God would raise him from the dead. Now, in the Old Testament, the individual Isaac is a perfect, pure picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how that Abraham, or how that the gospel was preached unto Abraham. It was through his son Isaac, that Abraham was able to realize that God has a plan. We're going to deal this morning with this subject of the plan and the program that God had and God has for this world. And Abraham, back some 2,000 years before the birth of Christ, he was preached the gospel. 2,000 years before Jesus came and was laid in the manger, born of a virgin that the Scripture gives us continual evidence of, Abraham believed God when God told him, said, "I have a plan." And Abraham trusted the Lord. And the Bible says, because of his faith, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Old Testament people got saved just like I got saved, is by faith. And we're going to look this morning in Genesis chapter 22 and going to notice this promise and this plan that God gave to Abraham, how that he could know that he had right relationship with the Lord. Now, verse number 23 of Acts chapter 2, I want to make sure I get all these things in order here. Acts chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. The Bible says, "Him being delivered," that's talking about Jesus Christ, "Him," Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Now, the Bible is very clear here that what happened to Jesus Christ was a plan. It was something that was foreordained. It was something that was pre-knowledge to God. And those wicked men took Him and crucified Him and slew the Lord of glory. Now, by the way, that did not take God by surprise. Not only was it an act that did not take Him by surprise, but it was an action that was determined by God, and it was going to take place. We should never get afraid of the predeterminate counsel of God, or we should never get afraid of words like foreordained or the election or the things. And sometimes people get them all confused, and they use wrong thoughts about it. But we should never, when the Scripture talks about it, then we just need to understand this is what it says. And so the Bible there in Acts, that Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel. God had determined that Jesus Christ would die. And that's why He came. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman government. He didn't come to set up some other type of government. He came to die, and that's why that he was upon this earth. And it was by the foreknowledge of God. God knew beforehand. Now, God's the only one that can know beforehand. Anybody in here this morning know what you're going to do tomorrow for sure? We think we do. I've quit making plans for the day because they never work out. They just never work out. I got this plan, this plan, this plan. I never get even the first one done. But God has the knowledge of beforehand. He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. I don't know. God knows what I'm going to do next year. I have no idea. But God has the foreknowledge because He's God. And here we find that Jesus was offered up as our substitute by the determinate foreknowledge of God, and it was worked out by the wicked hands of men. They crucified the Lord of glory, and that was the plan of God. He came to die. I'm going to look at some predetermined things in Abraham's life. It was determined by God. This is how it's going to happen. This is how it's going to work, and we find this in Genesis chapter number 22. Let's look at verse number 1. 1 and 2. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or try Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I, or here I am. That's always good to say when God calls your name, say, Here I am. And Abraham was there, available. Abraham? Abraham said, I'm here. Now notice what God tells him. Take now, verse 2, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Here is the command that God gave to Abraham, and it's a determined plan, a predetermined plan, that Abraham was going to take his son, and Abraham was going to offer him as an offering, a sacrifice. And Abraham had to listen to that. We find that this determined or predetermined plan gives us the knowledge that God knew exactly what He wanted Abraham to do for His son. And in that son, and in that plan, was going to preach the gospel to Abraham. The gospel, what is that? It's the death, the burial, the resurrection. That is the gospel. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of our Lord. That's the gospel. That's the nutshell determination of the gospel. So here we find, God says, I've got a plan for you, Abraham. I want you to take your son. That's the person. It's a predetermined person. Now we know Abraham had two sons. He had Ishmael by Hagar, the handmaid. And Ishmael is off of the picture now. He's been sent out. And he has another son by the name of Isaac. Isaac is that promised seed. God came to Abraham and Sarah and said, I'm going to give you a son. And they both laughed at God and said, How could that be? Sarah laughed and Abraham laughed. And they because Abraham was, 100 almost? Sarah was 90s? How can this be? We're past the age of childbirth. And so when Isaac was born, he was a miracle. By the way, when Jesus was born, he was a miracle. And so Isaac was born, and he's the promised seed that Abraham had from God. They didn't know how in the world that was going to happen, so Abraham takes his handmaid Hagar, which is much younger than Sarah, and has a child by her, and his name is Ishmael. God says Ishmael is going to be a wild man, and he certainly has been and is a wild man. The offsprings of Ishmael are those that we here today in the Middle East, and they're wild. And so, here's the seed of Abraham that was the works of the flesh. But there's a seed of Abraham is the work of the faith. And Isaac is that one that God says, take thy son, and notice God identifies Isaac, thy only son. Well, God knew Abraham had two sons, but this is the son of promise. He's the begotten of Abraham. So he's a predetermined person there in verse number 2. Take thine only son. Jesus is that Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And the Bible says in John 3:16 and other places, He is the only Son of God. And it uses the word there, only begotten. That means He is the only one that was born like He was born of a virgin. He's the only one that can be identified as the Son of God. And so, Isaac is the only one that can be determined as the seed of promise. He's the seed that God said, I'm going to make you fertile. I'm going to make Sarah's womb to open and she's going to have a child. And that was a miracle birth. And now God comes to Abraham and said, now I want you to take that son. Here's the determined plan. You take the son, you offer him, and you go to a place where I tell you to go. There's a predetermined place. And by the way, that predetermined place is Calvary. Praise the Lord, upon a hill far away stands an old rugged cross. Calvary. Now notice in verse 2, 3, and 4, Genesis 22. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. There is a place that God was going to show him. There is the place that God told him about, and then we find there that he saw the place. It was a predetermined place. God says there's a particular place that Isaac is going to be offered. And this place is in the land of Moriah. I remember years ago, Brother Solomon Olabi preached on Moriah. What a tremendous message. And how he identifies Moriah as none other than Mount Calvary. Same area, same place, and I believe where Isaac was sacrificed, I believe our Savior was crucified. And so we find here that God has determined a plan, He has determined a person, and He has determined a place. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 33, and when they were come to the place which is called Golgotha, which is called Calvary, there they crucified Him. The malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. There's the crucifixion. They came to the place. The place that was identified, the place that was reserved for crucifixion. Now, in all these things, we find that Abraham is seeing and working out and seeing work before his eyes the gospel. He is being used of the Lord, and God is telling him, and Abraham says, I'm here, I'm listening, and I'll do what you tell me to do. You know, by the way, that's all any person ever has to do to be saved. Just do what God says. Just follow the direction that God gives you, and salvation comes to our heart. And so we find that there is a plan. There's the person Isaac. There's the place that God is going to show him. And he goes to Moriah, and he takes up two with him. He saddles his donkey. He goes off. And then he sees the place afar off. God told him, there's the place. Now there's a price that has to be paid. The price, according to verse number 2, is a burnt offering. It's a sacrifice. Somebody says, oh, this is so archaic. This is so out of sorts to be offering a sacrifice of a child. But in this sacrifice, Abraham is receiving the gospel. And he believes it. He trusts what he sees. He trusts what God tells him. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. It wasn't by the works of his flesh, but it's what God had given to him, and he believed God. And it was put on his account. And so there's a price that had to be paid. The Bible says in Leviticus 17, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. If we want to live physically, we have to have blood running through our body. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you go to get a medical treatment. The first thing they want you to do is, you've got to have a blood test. I get them every 3 months. Oh, I've stretched it out to every 6 months now. But you go in there and they draw your blood. And in that, Jana, Mike, what does the blood tell you? Tells you everything. Yeah, sure does. Yeah, it tells you that. Now, why'd you say bad? It also tells you how good. So the blood, the life of the... Well, the Scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And isn't it surprising that everything we do is connected with the blood? You have to have blood drawn to find out what's going on. You can find many things in a blood test. You can identify. And so now we find that there has to be an offering. It's the life of the flesh on the blood. And here in Leviticus, he says, I have given it to you upon an altar to make an atonement for your souls. Atonement is a covering. It's a covering. And the Bible talks about that blood of the lambs that were slain. And once a year the high priest would go behind the veil of the temple and in the innermost veil, and they'd offer that blood as a sacrifice. And it covered, the atoned for the sins of the nation of Israel and pushed them forward for a year. They had to do it every year. Oh, but there's one came. And he sacrificed himself, and no more sacrifice for sin. Thank God it's Jesus Christ. He didn't atone for our sin. He took them away. He didn't cover our sin. He threw them behind his back, never to be seen again, as far as the east is from the west. And so we find here that the price was a burnt offering. Hebrews 9:22 says almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. There had to be a shedding of blood. Abraham was going to offer his son because God told him to. Abraham drew the knife up and was ready to destroy his own son. And God stayed his hand. And so we find here that there was a price that had to be paid, and that's the blood of His Son. There was a price that was paid for my sins, and there's a price that was paid for your sin, and that was the wonderful, glorious, blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ. When He died on the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood, and now we have life through His name. Abraham's being preached the gospel through his only begotten Son. He's being preached and he's using, and God's showing here, Abraham, here's the faith that you have to have. And Abraham said, I'm here. The Bible says in verse 3 that he clave the wood. I looked up that word and I thought I was pretty sure I knew. The word clave there means he cut the wood. He got the wood ready. He got the wood in order. And he, through this process, he clave the wood. And the Bible says, as we read a while ago, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is every person that dies because of the wood, because of the tree. And of course, we know that tree is none other than the cross of Calvary. Abraham, you're hearing the gospel. Now, have to remember, Paul is combating this false teaching that a person can be saved only if they believe the gospel and add the law. That's the false doctrine that's come into the churches of Galatia. Paul is putting the gospel to them now. And he says that there's a process. He cut the wood. Now Abraham and his son, they go together. The Bible tells us that they go up the mountain. The Bible says in verse 4 that they saw the place. In verse 5, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. And I like this next part. And worship. And then he says, and come again. Abraham, you're going to go offer your son. He's going to die. And Abraham tells these two men that's with him, said, we're going to go worship the Lord. And we're both going to come back. The death, the burial, the resurrection. And so Abraham hears this message of the Lord. And they go up together and they get things ready. Isaiah chapter 53, also in the Old Testament, said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him," speaking of his son. "He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hand." They went up, verse number 6. Abraham took the wood, that wood that he had cut. He takes the wood there in verse number 6, and for the burnt offering, he lays it on Isaac. Oh, he lays the wood on Isaac. And what do? And his son, he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Get the picture now. Isaac the son has the wood on him. Who carried his cross to Calvary? Jesus Christ did. The wood was put upon him. Abraham has seen the gospel. And they go up the mountain. They go to that predetermined place. And he lays this upon his son. And the Bible says he, bearing his cross, went forth into the place of a skull. In the Hebrew tongue, it's called Golgotha. The Gentile tongue is called Calvary. And there Jesus went and the cross was upon him. He carried it. He laid down his life. He died for us. Isaac is taking his wood and it's laid upon him. And Abraham had the fire and he had a knife. Abraham wasn't ignorant of what was supposed to take place. He has the fire, he has the knife. Isaac has the wood. They go to the place. It's a process. It's a path. Now notice what Isaac asked him. Verse 7. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father, and said, now they're going to the place. They're going to Calvary. They're going to sacrifice. They're going to the place of death for Isaac. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father, Abraham, he says, here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire. You have the fire, Dad. And I've got the wood. But where's the lamb? See, Isaac knew that if we're going to have a sacrifice, there had to be a lamb. Isaac's old enough. He's not a little bitty boy. He's on up in years. And he said, Dad, you have the fire. I have the wood. Where's the lamb? What's he saying? Where's the sacrifice? Now remember, Abraham was preached the gospel. Abraham has this pointed question from his son. Where is the lamb? But Steve Allen, when he lived, he would sing that song, Where's the Lamb? And Abraham is given this question by his son. In verse 8, Abraham said, my son. Notice the great faith of Abraham. My son, God will provide. Now you could stop there. That's great. God will provide. Did you notice the next word? God will provide Himself. How did God provide Himself? He provided Himself through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Abraham, not even knowing the name Jesus Christ, not even knowing anything 2,000 years ahead. He believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness that by faith he believed that the Lord would honor his word. God had promised Abraham years before, in your seed shall all the nations be blessed. And Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed that so much that if God permitted him to slay his own son and put him on the wood and kill him, Abraham believed that God would raise him from the dead. There's the gospel. The death, the burial, resurrection of his son. Abraham believed God. Now, I'll tell you what, just saying I believe there is a God is a whole lot different than believing God. Abraham's faith much different than most faith today. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Isaac has the question. Abraham has the answer. They continue to journey. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Specific place. Predetermined place. They get there. It's a 3-day journey from where he left the two. And so they come to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, right there at that place, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. You get the picture now? The sacrifice of Isaac. The faith of Abraham. The great faith to do what God told him to do, and the great faith to believe God would do something spectacular. So now they're at the place, and the wood is in order, and Abraham has laid his son down. He's put him, bound him there, and laid him on the altar, verse number 9. Now verse 10. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. I can't imagine. Can't imagine the heartbeat that was in Abraham's bosom. God is trying him. The Bible says in verse 1, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt, or that word is try. He tried Abraham. He put him to the test. So far, Abraham's doing pretty good, isn't he? Doing better than I do. I have to be honest. I have one child. Abraham did better than I do. So they've gone to that predetermined place. They've done everything God said to do. Abraham puts him on the altar. Abraham stretches forth his hand and he takes the knife to slay his son. Doesn't look too promising right now. But Abraham believed God. There's the difference. It doesn't look too promising in this whole world today, but I'll tell you what, if you believe God, we got a great promise, Jesus. Doesn't look too wonderful in our world we live, but Jesus is coming again. And so we find that Abraham gets everything in order and he raises his hand to slay his son. Verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven. And I believe with all my heart this angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. Many times in the Old Testament when you see the term, the phrase, the angel of the Lord, you can always, almost every time, it is a presence of His Son. By the way, Jesus didn't become the Son of God. He always was the Son of God. Jesus was just not born in Bethlehem to be the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And when God said, let us make man in our own image, who is He talking? He's talking God, Father, God, Son, God, and the Holy Spirit. Let us do this. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. I like Abraham. What does he say? Here am I. That's three times Abraham has said, I'm here. He said it to God, he said it to his son, and he said it to the angel of the Lord. He hears the voice of the angel of the Lord, Abraham. I don't believe it's just a still small voice. I believe God thundered to call out, Abraham. God says, now I know your faith. He says, lay not, verse 12, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now, to that point of offering his son, God says, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou art not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. God says, you are willing to offer your only son to me. So Abraham, you have faith. And it's accounted unto him, Galatians, for righteousness. Praise the Lord. There was a substitute for Isaac. Oh, thank God this morning there's a substitute for me. Verse 13. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him upon the burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place. It's a funny looking word here. He called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The word Jehovah means Lord. It's one of the few places in the Scripture that Jehovah is not translated Lord. But he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. The word Jireh means provides. The Lord provides. Well, I'm glad, thank God, on a hill far away, the Lord God of heaven provided a way of escape for me and for you. That we could see the gospel and we could hear the gospel. And Abraham received the gospel. He believed it. In typology, by his own son. He believed God. And God said, now I know. I know your faith, Abraham. And it was accounted unto him. It was put to his account that Abraham was righteous. Now Paul is laying all this out for one purpose to these Galatian churches. Did Abraham get saved by the works of the law? Or did Abraham get saved by the faith of the Son of God? Very simple answer. It's in his son. And Abraham was preached the gospel when he took Isaac to that appointed place, took that trip, laid him on the wood, had his hand raised to kill his son, and the angel of the Lord stayed his hand and said, Abraham, Abraham! And I think out of maybe a peace to his heart, Abraham said, I'm here. Thank God I'm here. So you go back to Galatians. You see, Abraham, he did have the gospel preached to him, didn't he? And there's a predetermined promise that Abraham had. He told those, remember those two young men that were with him that he said, you stay here? There was a promise Abraham made to them. He said, we'll come again. We'll come back. That means Abraham believed, according to Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham believed that if God chose for him to sacrifice his son, here's where Abraham's faith is so much greater than most I would ever think about. He believed that if God let him kill his own son, he believed that God would raise his son from the dead. Resurrection. The gospel. This morning in a few weeks, we'll come to the Easter season. The world puts a lot of hype to it. The world will hide their Easter eggs and they'll do all the commercial things about it. And so very few people understand what it's all about. But one day God did not spare His Son like God spared Isaac. God laid His Son on the wood. He was bound to that. For the Scripture says they put nails through his hands and through his feet. I do not picture Jesus fighting them, as you'll see in the movies. By the way, religious movies are far from religious. I don't care what the best one might be. It's far from the gospel. Jesus, the Bible says He freely lay Himself down. When they came to the place called Golgotha, when they came to the place that's called Calvary, the old cross was laying there, and I believe Jesus went over and laid down. Did the nails hurt? Sure they did. He's a human flesh like you and I. Did it hurt when they put the crown of thorns upon Him? Sure it did. But He was freely giving Himself, and God was having a sacrifice. Sacrifice for my sins. And if Jesus had not gone to the cross, if there was no gospel, we'd be nothing more than like the dogs, the cattle, and the wild beasts of the field. But when God made man in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says God breathed in the nostrils of man, He became a living soul. Soul. Not going to die. It's living. The word living there means continual living. Going to live somewhere. Little kid song, I'm going to live forever. I'm going to die, no, never. I'm going to live somewhere. It's either heaven or it's hell. And because of the gospel that God preached to Abraham, I can preach to the whole world this morning through my missionaries and through our outreaches. I can preach to people that come in. I can preach the same gospel. That God slew His Son, but God raised Him from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Abraham, what a great example he is. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So, was he saved by works? Was he saved because he went up there and did what God... No. He was saved because he believed God. He believed if God let him kill his son, God raised him from that. Why? Because God had given Abraham a promise, in your seed, Isaac, shall all the world be blessed. And if Isaac dies, there's no blessing. Abraham believed God. Far greater, far more than even I. He believed God. And because of his belief, it was put on his account. We know what an account is. You have a bank account. You add to it. You subtract from it. Well, God added to his account that he was righteous. And Paul's proving now to these people it's not by the law, not by the works of the flesh, but it's by the gospel that was preached to Abraham. Let's stand together this morning.